I'm Leo Babeu, filling in for Katja Gordon. We've definitely moved on from the windy and warm stage of the endless summer that we were feeling over the weekend into the first couple of days of this week. In this first week of October, we've now got a much more familiar October feel. Temps look like we'll barely get out of the 40s much of the time this coming week. I've got on the line with me Mr. Kenny Blumenfeld, a senior climatologist with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. Wow, what a switch. Welcome to fall, everybody.
Yes, it's arrived 100% with gusto. Kenny, I think I previewed for you that fascinating topic was brought to my attention this last week, both from the folks up at the Hawk Ridge Bird Observatory and our own Katja Gordon, who's been trying to sail on this great lake. We've had a lot of windiness, but in particular, it seems that the direction of the wind was not the usual fare for late September. I was wondering, where do we dive into that subject?
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I actually hadn't thought too much about that topic until Katja sent me a note saying that they're having a hard time getting offshore, and that they were just being kind of owned by these easterly winds. So just to make sure we're all using the same terminology, listeners, when we talk about wind direction, if you hear, west or east or southerly or northerly, those directions are meant to describe the direction from which the wind is blowing. So, that's an important distinction, because with almost everything else, we just talk about the direction that the thing is moving, right? So if a storm is moving to the east, we say it's moving easterly. But when we talk about easterly winds, we're talking about winds coming from the east.
Yeah.
And it's, you think of, if you go back to what we've learned about, what we learned in, say, even middle school or grade school, when you take your first kind of weather type class or you have a weather unit, and you hear that we're in the westerlies. And this is true, mid-latitude areas, and that includes us, generally, not always, of course, but generally have things move from left to right along the map, from west to east. And that includes our winds. They generally come out of the west. Not all of the time, of course, when it's really warm, we get our winds out of the south. And when it's really cold, we get winds out of the north or northerly type directions. It does turn out that easterly winds, winds coming off the east, are really our least common direction. We generally only get them when there's a low pressure area that's off to our south, maybe southeast somewhere. And so as the winds are counterclockwise rotating around that low pressure area, we get a period where the winds are coming off of, in your case, off of the lake. It's unusual. I can't remember a time where we've had 10, 12 days of easterly winds just kind of parked over the region. And especially because during that time, during a lot of that time, the weather wasn't particularly wet. I mean, we definitely had a very wet end of September here in, especially up in northeast Minnesota, but that was a lot of thunderstorms that actually resulted from the wind switching directions momentarily or at different levels. And so, it was just kind of a bizarre pattern to have, because usually when we get a easterly wind, it means that, you're in this sort of moist Atlantic flow with remnant circulation around some kind of low pressure. So quite unusual, fairly stiff winds. I mean, enough to keep some boats at bay. And it was just, one part of what in my mind was one of the strangest months Minnesota has experienced climatologically. Very bizarre month we had.
Wow. And I guess it may be behind us, but it still left a mark. I know that Margie at the Bird Observatory said that just a whole host of broadwing hawks and other species that just didn't find the normal thermal gradient conditions with the prevailing winds, and the birds are still to show up. So things got delayed. It was sort of like everybody was parked waiting for this to change. And has it fully changed? And what's up next? I guess we're left wondering whether we'll be surprised again.
Yeah, that was quite an observation that you shared. Hearing about something like a weather pattern affecting, you know, affecting migration or affecting flight paths of our feathered friends is really, it's quite remarkable. It looks, I mean, you know, we never know exactly what's going to happen. I would like to say that particular pattern we were in seems to have passed. It was, again, the orientation and its sort of cause of those easterly winds was a little bit unusual in that we didn't actually have a strong low pressure system off to the southeast. It was really just the way that the balance between high pressure and low pressure were kind of oriented over the region. So it wasn't even a classical setup. It almost seemed like every day was just kind of, we randomly walked into easterly winds. So currently, when we look at the most recent forecast models that were run overnight, and you kind of look at the whole national view, I actually don't see a lot of patterns, if any, that get us back to where we were in September. We have plenty of warm conditions yet, I think, to work through this month. You know, I don't think this is the beginning of winter by any stretch of the imagination. We got, I think there will be good chances of 60s and possibly even 70s.
Oh my.
Yet in October. But okay. What I am not observing on any of these models would be persistent, strong easterly winds. I mean, we're getting into the time of year, Leo, where we get these low pressure systems that are going to start coming through the region more frequently. You know, summer's a sleepy time for the atmosphere, and all of the precipitation and all of those thunderstorms and all everything that you associate with summer is really related just to the brute force of the sun being so strong and the warmest air in the world kind of surging northward into the northern hemisphere. And that really has kind of a stabilizing effect on the atmosphere. We tend to have, you know, if you ever look closely at a weather map, aside from the temperature maps that you're maybe used to reading, if you ever see the ones that are attempting to show pressure, you can see sort of lines of pressure that expand out from low and high pressure systems. And in the summertime, there tends to be a lot of space between those lines. And that's just because we are in a more homogeneous air mass. And what that does is that actually slows the winds down. And it makes what we call it less dynamic. There's just less going on. And the main sort of ingredient driving everything is just the brute force of sunlight and summer heat. As you get into winter, it's the opposite. And just imagine that on the equator, you have the sun is still beating down with its full force. And so it's very, very warm in the tropical regions. And then as you move into the Arctic regions, you have literally no sunlight.
Right.
And so you get much colder. You form a much stronger difference between where it's warm and where it's cold. And that also affects the high and low pressure patterns and tends to energize them. And we move into a more dynamic pattern. Now, this is all to say that that fall is the transition between that sleepy summer pattern and the very much more active winter pattern. And this is one of the reasons fall is kind of, you know, we have some legendary cyclones that have passed through the region, and particularly the Lake Superior area, you know, once you get into October and especially November. And so this is all to say, I'm not going to rule out some easterly winds because we're going to have cyclones passing the region over the next few weeks as you know, the transition continues. But I don't right now see anything where we're stuck with easterly winds for, you know, 5-10 days at a time. I don't see that. I see much more changeable kind of typical fall weather, which is going to include some nice warm conditions in there.
Well, that is surprisingly good to know, because I looked about 5 to 6 days down the road and it looked like a rinse and repeat, high 40s, low 50s every day with a
yeah.
But there was a couple of days of a little sneaky east wind, but it looked like no, they weren't setting up to be mostly west winds. But I just wanted to assure you that yesterday reminded us of where we live, because we have some classic October weather that I don't know if there should be a label for it, where we saw everything from really gusty wind and sunny skies to a little hail, lots of magnificent clouds and little tiny sunbursts, rain bursts. We got about 0.1 inches of rain with about 8 or 9 different rain events. And that's kind of classic outdoor experience for me in October when I try to get things done. I just get spit on, but, you know, not deluged much of the time. I don't know if there's a word for the kind of pattern we have where we go back and forth all through the day, sun, cloud, wind, rainy outburst.
I mean, I call it squally. It's squally. Kind of a, it's Thank a, you. It is a typical fall and sometimes spring pattern where, you know, you've got cold air streaming in aloft, and then as the sun breaks through the clouds, so maybe you have marginally stable conditions, and as the sun breaks through the clouds, it starts heating the ground up. And so you get these little convective plumes that end up leading to, you know, that's rising air. It leads to clouds and even showers.
Right.
And then those showers bring down cold air. So you often go through this cycle where it gets kind of surprisingly warm, and then quickly clouds replace that warmth, and you get a burst of, you know, sprinkles, showers, maybe even small hail or grapple because the air aloft is so cold, and it gets gusty. And then the cloud moves off, the sun comes out again, you might do that a few times. It is a classic fall pattern. And one of the things that's also happening today, if anyone is able to check out the Duluth radar, right now it's about 9:30 a.m., and run a little animation of it, you will see probably the first lake effect precipitation band of the year affecting, this would be the kind of area closer to Bayfield in northern Wisconsin. But so you've got still pretty warm waters compared to the air that's streaming over it. And so you develop this shallow convection, and the northerly winds just drop extra precipitation. It looks like it's been raining pretty steadily kind of north of Highway 2 there for, you know, the last hour or so.
Oh,
so all these signs of fall are here. The convective, kind of scattered convective squalls that you described yesterday, and then, of course, the cold northerly winds bringing in kind of rain and clouds and giving us that nice Lake Superior feel. And then you also have the real lake effect precipitation band that's setting up in northern Wisconsin.
Well, it's the first lake effect reference of the season and not the last. So, Kenny, we are up against
Certainly
the clock,
not.
And that was fascinating. It sounds like you're letting us know that we shouldn't just settle in for the 50s. We might see 70s again in these parts. I don't know, the 80s even down your way. But I'll take it when it comes, Kenny. But in the meantime, I'm preparing for winter, and it's our pleasure to visit with you as often as we can on Friday mornings. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, good talking with you. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye now. That was Bye-bye. Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.